Hello, my name is Marcia Taylor and welcome to Relationship Emotional Intelligence. Today on our show, I am joined by my awesome co-host, Mr. Daniel Conyell. Hey, Daniel.
Yo, what's up? Let's do
it. Hi. So today we'll be talking about boundaries. Yes, the importance of setting boundaries. I'm talking to you folks who always says yes and never yes. say no, even when it is inconveniencing you. Or maybe you are a people pleaser and you just don't know how to say no because you are afraid it may change the relationship dynamic. But at any rate, we're going to go further with that. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just, you know, just trying to help everybody out, make sure that they own up and up and not allowing people to take advantage of them and stuff like that.
Exactly. You know? And that brings me to this. So, Daniel, tell us, why are boundaries so important?
So, you know, after hearing what I have to tell you, you're going to kick yourself square in the ass for, you know, for
square,
square in the ass for the way you've always banished the actions of others in the past.
I see.
And I've often stressed to people who ask me for help. And, you know, when they say to me, I have a very big heart and I don't know how to say no. Mm-hmm. Now, what I usually tell them is this. You have to learn to say no.
No.
You have to learn to say no when you would otherwise say yes, and you have to learn to not take no for an answer when you're trying to get your needs met.
Now give us an example of that. What does that mean?
So if someone asks you to do something that completely inconveniences you, you know, like a family member who always calls you at the last minute to ask you to take them somewhere. They may seem to know your schedule, so they call you like 10 minutes before you have to be there for work, and only to ask you for a favor that would definitely make you late for work. I remember back in the day, this was a while back, this was some years back, a good friend of mine's, you know, someone I really looked up to called me about 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, he said, you know, he's like, "Hey, man, I gotta be at work in a bit. And I promised to pick up so-and-so from the airport, but I forgot. I need you to pick them up from the airport and take them to the house." You know, at the time, you know, I was sort of like a people pleaser. You know, I didn't want to disappoint them or anything like that, you know, and I was thinking to myself, so, you know, I gotta get up. And, but, you know, I did it anyway.
Was it an emergency?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't even an emergency. Wow. You know, so he was he just forgot. You know, even though I had to be at work in a couple of hours myself, I went on and did it.
So it would make you late as well, and it would have made him late, but it was his obligation.
Yes, that's correct. Wow. That's correct. So I drove 30 miles to, you know, pick up the friend and, you know, pick him up. I waited for him to get his luggage, and then I had to drive 90 miles to drop him off, and then 60 miles to get back, you know, to my spot.
Wow.
And mind you, I didn't get any gas money from this, which was real fun. But you know, I was kind of upset about the situation, you know, thinking to myself, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I had to be at work too, you know. You know, why did my friend, you know, think his job was more important than mine?
So you were uneasy about it.
Yeah, I definitely was. Mm. But I had already agreed to the deed though. Mm. So I just let it go. But nonetheless, I was vocal about it. You know, I did tell him how I felt about it. I said, "Hey, you know, please, for future reference, do not call me in the middle of the night again unless it's an emergency."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and stuff like that never occurred again. I had set the boundary. But if that would have happened today, you know,
It wouldn't have happened. And, you know, it's important. One thing that you mentioned, too, I think that what allows us to think is, see how you immediately said yes? Did you immediately say yes when he first called you?
Yeah.
You said yes. Did you give it a thought? Did you say, because one of the things I remember you saying that when someone asks you for a favor, just say, you know, I'll see what I can do and I'll call you back. We should never immediately agree to the terms because we may figure out later, which 100% of the time, it really inconveniences us or we can't. But since we already said, yeah, and we still tend to keep our words, we mm-hmm. want to keep our words.
Because someone else's emergency becomes ours when we, you know, we feel like it's our emergency too.
Especially after we said yes, so you know we can't go back.
So the best wow. course of action in a situation like that sometimes is just to say, hold on, let me give you a call back.
Right.
But by then, they're making their rounds, they're making their phone calls to see who can help them with their issue.
Hence the fact that they might call and say, oh, it's okay dude, I found somebody.
Yeah,
so you hear that a lot. Yeah,
so you can call them back and be like, and touch base with them and say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, did you figure out what was going on? Did you get?
Yeah, I found somebody.
Yeah, all right, cool then. So that relieves you from the situation. But you know, the thing is that, you know, I didn't want this to occur again, and so I expressed to him. You know, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, today, if this would have happened to me today,
it
just wouldn't happen. This would not happen at all. No. I would say to him today, I would be like, you know, this is not okay to call me in the middle of the night for a non-emergency issue,
exactly.
Simply to ask me to do you a favor, mm-hmm. and that would equally inconvenience us both.
Right, and he should have been more convenienced because it was his obligation that he mm-hmm. forgot about, so he should have took the fall for being late.
Yeah, and I would further iterate that, you know, that I value our friendship, but I can't help you at this moment. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what I would do. And there are all sorts of scenarios. You know, you might even have a friend who seems to have that, you know, that have a financial emergency at the same time every single month. They might not be the type of people that would pay you back or pay you back on time, or when they do pay you back, it's never with the same enthusiasm that they have. Exactly.
Wow.
So they may, you know, they come at you with an attitude and, you know, and act like you did something wrong, you know. But if you come across a situation like this, you could say, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't help you out this time.
And let that be it. Your no should be your no. No,
you don't have to give any explanation. You don't have to give no explanation about
it.
But you know, sometimes you might have to even go a step further because some people may overstep their boundaries. So you have to just let them know, be like, hey, I'm not giving you any money anymore, so please don't ask. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they might even make you, you know, attempt to send you on a guilt trip. Don't give it any energy. Just say, I understand how you feel. However, I no longer feel comfortable with providing you money. So it is not okay to ask me any longer.
And let that be it.
Do not
wait for an answer and then it gets to an argument. Mm-hmm. Just let that be it.
And don't trip. Don't worry about if you think that the relationship is going to change. The relationship is not going to change. If they value that relationship between you two, they're not going to change how they feel.
They're just
going to
be in their feelings for that moment. They're going through their range mm-hmm. of emotions at that moment. And then,
see, the problem is people think that the relationship is going to change, you know, when they decide to stand up for themselves. And that's not the case. So some people use that fear to their advantage. Let me make one thing clear. If the relationship changes for the worse as a result of you standing up for yourself, then you're likely being manipulated. And that so-called friend probably doesn't value you as much as you value them. Be mindful of what manipulation is. Mm. It can be so subtle that we often overlook it. And a manipulative person might say, so you're just going to leave me hanging when I don't have anyone else to turn to? Or they might say, you don't love me or value our relationship if you don't help me. And, you know, and what if this or that happens, you know?
You know what? That brings me to a point that I was watching a show. Or at least I came in a particular scene of the show where the daughter found her mother was trying to refinance a home that she bought and let her mom live in, and which is still in the daughter's name, of course. She confronted her mother because, you know, she got the phone calls and about the refinance company, etc. She went over to her mother and confronted her and said, first she asked, are you trying to refinance this home? Her mother said, well, yes. And she said, this is my home. I bought it for you, so you have a place to live. And the mother went on to say, oh, fine, whatever. Just kick me out. Leave me homeless. Take my jewelry. Just you know, leave me out there hanging. So at that point, I figured that is a manipulative move so she can feel bad. And the daughter didn't give it any energy. Instead, she just stated, Mom, you can't do that. That is not okay. And don't do it again. And she walked away. I thought that would be, you know, I thought, wow, that's awesome. And that was the end of it. It didn't escalate. It didn't turn to an argument. She figured, okay, I won't do that anymore.
You know, and that's just, you know, it's all just manipulative BS. You know, a lot of people can recognize it when they're being, manipulated, but they usually don't know how to stop it, or they simply feel powerless to do anything about it. However, you know how it makes you feel, because you usually won't feel good about giving something to someone. And in most cases, if you feel uneasy about giving anything, whether it's love, money, or time, you need to listen to your intuition. You need to listen to the voice on the inside that's telling you that whatever's happening is not okay. You know, first things first, we have to be mindful that not everyone is going to do what's in our best interest. Not only that, some people actually make it their business to seek out others who are easy to prey on. Anytime someone possesses more information than you, they are capable of manipulating you without your knowledge. Not everyone is as trying to manipulate and use you, but it's necessary to know what it looks like when manipulation occurs. And always know that most people have a natural tendency to make an effort to benefit themselves at the expense of another. Unfortunately, some people are unaware that their behavior is manipulative because they've behaved the way they have for so long that manipulation is simply part of their personality. Just remember this. We teach people how to treat us. Any behavior we allow to occur gives someone permission to continue treating us a certain way.
Exactly.
Sometimes it might just be a way that a person is treating someone else other than us, but we don't say anything about it. But keep this in mind also, when a person treats another other than you badly, they will eventually treat you the same way.
That is so true, because I can tell you, I experienced that personally, just like many of you, and maybe you didn't realize it. I have to say, I was dating this guy, and we were meeting in a downtown area. As I was coming to the place that we were meeting at, actually a restaurant, he was standing almost in the middle of the street or at the end of the driveway or a parking area and, you know, waiting, saving me a park. So I'm just like, okay. And I had my windows up. I was on my way. I was driving in and he said, hey, hey, hey. I mean, at the top of his lungs with my windows up to say, over here, over here.
So you heard all that.
I heard, and I was mortified because that was just too much attention for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have called me, is how I thought. Like, I'm over here, I found the park, so just come in. But he thought the yelling would be sufficient. So, all right, so I kind of, you know, I looked at that. To
that's
me,
that was a red flag.
That's exactly what it was, a red flag number one. Mm-hmm. So as we continued on with our date, mm-hmm. we went to a restaurant, and I noticed that when the waitress was giving us our stuff, you know, like drinks and things like that, I didn't hear any manners. He didn't use not one manner. I mean, automatically, he put the drink down.
No thank yous, no thank yous.
No thank you, no please. So I just thought, wow, no manners, like at all. It didn't come out, not even try to come out. So to me, that's what, red flag number two. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, okay, that's red flag number two. Then the third one I saw was when he thought that the waitress' name was Amy. So it's an easy enough name to remember. So mm-hmm. her name is Amy. He forgot that he wanted to add something. She was at another table and he's and snapping his fingers, A-A-A. Oh my goodness, I could have crawled under the table and just covered my head. I was so mortified. It's so not me. I think that's so rude, it's ugly. And I just thought, oh my goodness. And she came over a little irritated, understandably so. Like, is there something wrong? Can I help you? And was like, you know, what is it? So when I noticed that, and I just thought, okay, this red flag, this is another red flag. And as I continue to talk to him, because, you know, you talk to people and you have a conversation to understand where they've been through, where they're coming from, to see if we're compatible. We were talking, and he was telling me he referred his ex and I mean, that's one thing, your ex, but then he was talking about her family as, you know, bees, call them names, and not just one ex, but all his exes. he referred to them as bees. He said he told them that they were bees. And I just thought, oh my goodness, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there are, you know, these are red flags all over the place, and you have to get the flag that works for you. There are yellow flags, which, you know, things that means the things that you can work over, or you can look, you know, you can deal with. But his red flags were so boldly red that I could have just ran out and been okay. Needless to say, I never talked to him after that again. But
yeah, that behavior, the thing is, with that behavior that he was displaying, it would eventually transfer to your relationship if you decided to allow that relationship to continue.
Correct. So that was the kind of boundary that I know. That boundary was too big for me to handle. So for me, setting the boundaries was just to dissolve.
Yeah, because there's going to be a point where you're going to have, you have to ask yourself, okay, do I want to try to fix this issue? I mean, because in the beginning, a lot of relationships, we'll see a lot of different red flags and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. and the thing, like I was saying earlier, is like if we allow someone's behavior to continue, we're just giving them permission to continue behaving a certain way towards us.
Mm-hmm. We're saying it's okay.
Yeah, and we're also giving permission if we allow a behavior to continue, and even if it doesn't affect us directly at the moment, mm-hmm. it will eventually affect us later on down the line, because that person's gonna, you know, he's gonna get comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, with
and be who they really are.
Yeah.
So it's gotta be something, you know, and when my pastor said, he said, you know, we all got mess. It's finding the mess that you can deal with, that you're comfortable with, or we all have to sacrifice. You have to find what you're able to sacrifice. I mean, right off the bat, I can tell you some things that I can't sacrifice is someone who's abusive, mm-hmm. someone who's on drugs, a cheater, a liar, the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Those are some things is no way, form, or fashion that I could sacrifice.
And the thing is, that's not unreasonable to ask for. That's not an unreasonable request.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so it's like if you are in a situation where you're single and you want to get with somebody and you're asking for somebody to be faithful to you, somebody to treat you right, someone to, you know, be there for you and support you and encourage you, those are not unreasonable requests.
Correct.
You know, so if you're dealing with somebody who's, you know, not being supportive, or someone who's being verbally abusive, and I'm like, you have to put your foot down.
In other words, setting boundaries.
You have to set your boundaries.
So even if you allowed it to go on the past, it's probably better, and I try to tell my daughter, it's better to create those boundaries in the giddy up so that it doesn't look like an unprovoked attack, as you mentioned.
Because the thing is that when we allow a certain thing to occur over and over, we allow somebody to treat us a certain way over and over, and we do it uninterrupted, what ends up happening is that when we do bring it up, it for that person, for the person that we're addressing our issue to, they're going to look at the issue. They're going to look at us like we're attacking them, like it's an unprovoked attack.
Because you never said anything, and you know, mm-hmm. that brings me to this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, if there's a sexual harassment suit at work. I mean, this is like old school. And if you recall, when they do that, instead of just going right after the person, they want to know, did you say no? Did you tell that person, I do not like this, it is not okay, don't touch me? So basically they go through the protocol in which you bluntly and just directly, mm-hmm. let them know
explicitly
saying, hey, do you know that I know what are you doing is not okay, I don't want you to do it. They have to know that they do this. This is the same thing that we need to do in our relationships, is if something is not right, if we feel uneasy, that's not saying do that with everything, but if it's uneasy to you in your stomach, that means it's probably not good for you. And if we feel that way, at that point, we should say, please don't call me that name, or please don't raise your voice, or please stop cursing at me, or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be.
And
we need to address it then.
Yeah, and we have to let people know, like, it is not okay.
Right.
You know, if someone raises their voice at you, the moment someone raises their voice at you, and you're going to feel a certain kind of way about it, mm-hmm. you might even feel fear. And you might feel like, hey, this relationship is going to, you know, change in some way, shape, or form, so I shouldn't say nothing, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want them to leave me or walk out on me or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You can't have those fears, because a lot of times if that person values the relationship, they're not going to leave you hanging. They're not going to abandon you. or anything like that. But if they do abandon you, that means that they didn't care about you the way you thought they did. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to let people know that, hey, this is not, you are not going to talk to me in this manner any longer. It is not okay. You know what I'm saying? But you have to do it while it's happening. You can't do it, you know, 3 months from now and just bring it up out of the blue and say, hey, you know what? I remember this one day you said something to me and I thought it was really mean. They're going to look at that as an unprovoked attack.
Correct.
You know, so
because you allowed it.
So they're going to end up arguing. You end up in an argument, mm-hmm. because they're going to, now that they're going to look at you like you're trying to, you know.
It came out of the blue.
Yeah. Like you're attacking their character at this point.
Right.
So
yeah, so you okayed it before. What's the problem now? I used to knock you upside your head all day long, and now, and that was another scene about Tina Turner. Sorry about what's love got to do with it, when they was in the limousine and she had been doing her meditating, and she just got through meditating. It was in the car, and this is the first time she fought back. I was hitting her with the shoe, and she was like, oh, that's all you got? And she was just hitting him back. And he was like, what the heck is wrong with you, anime? What the heck is wrong with you? Meaning, mm-hmm. like, you've been accepting this. Now, all of a sudden, you're not accepting this? Yeah. What is your problem?
Mm-hmm.
So, and when the first time, when mm-hmm. when he started his abusiveness.
And he looked at her crazy, like what is this coming from? Exactly. Why are you hitting me?
He said that.
You know what I'm saying? Why is you hitting me? Like, mm-hmm. But you gotta, the thing is that, when it comes down to it, we have to really just pay close attention to, you know, our own actions, but as well as the actions of others, mm-hmm. so that we can prevent a lot of the issues that we experience, mm-hmm. when we try to get our needs met, and we also want things to happen a certain way. So if someone is coming at you sideways, someone's coming at you being disrespectful, and you don't want it to happen, You have to stand up for yourself
in the nicest way possible. We're not saying, you know, get huffy and puffy.
No, you don't have to.
You
don't have to.
No.
You don't have to get belligerent.
No,
you don't have to. You know, throw blows at somebody or anything like that.
No,
all you got to do is tell and say,
excuse me,
it is not okay.
Please don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable with that. It is not okay. And let that be that.
Mm-hmm.
They might huff and puff and roll their eyes, but I guarantee you that they wouldn't do it again.
Because what's happening at that point is they're becoming mindful of your feelings at that point. Mm-hmm. If you express to them, say, hey, I don't feel comfortable when you do that, you know what I'm saying? It is not okay. Then you're making them aware, making that person aware of how you feel about that issue.
Or
so
what
when
they're doing.
So when they actually do that, mm-hmm. again, they think back to themselves and say to themselves, oh, they have a problem with this. So, you know, I don't want no problems. Because it's kind of like when you stand up to a bully. You're on the playground. I don't know if anyone have ever dealt with a bully, but I have. And I remember back in the day when I was a kid, I was in the fourth grade, and there was this bully named Al, and Al used to pick on me all the time. And I remember one day I just had enough. I remember I was walking outside, and he kicked me in the butt and kicked me down the stairs, and I just had enough. So I grabbed him, and I tried to swing on him and everything, and he started swinging on me too, and we was just fighting and tussling, and the teacher came in and tried to break us up and everything. But and it's like we both ended up getting sent to the principal's office. We both got suspended. But when we was in detention, I was sitting there. I was scared of him still. But the thing is that he remembered that I gave him some resistance.
Exactly.
And since I gave him some resistance, he was like, he wasn't going to try to fight me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And after that day, he did not mess with me. We didn't become best friends or nothing like that. But after that day, he never messed with me again, because he knew that every time he messed with me, he was going to have a fight.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
And no one wants to go to the harder part. They mm-hmm. want to go to the easier.
So I created a boundary for that particular issue. Mm-hmm. But we can also create boundaries in our everyday life, mm-hmm. with situations like I was explaining earlier when it came to, just dealing with you know, family members who like to ask for money, or people who like to, you know, try to steal little bits of your time and stuff like that.
Or someone you're dating and you want to date so bad because he's so cute or she's so cute and you want it to work. Don't even look over it. That's your time to determine if this is something or this is a mess that I can deal with or I can't. And if you get red flags in the beginning, like that, like I said, you'll have yellow flags and you can kind of work around those. But red flags, you really can't work around them. You really can't. So you have to address them.
You have to address red flags like right off the top. And if you, because if, like I said earlier, if you don't address a, if you don't address an issue, what happens is that you're giving someone permission to treat you the way they would like to treat you. They want to treat you.
Yeah, this can be extended on. I mean, this is only a one part. We have so many boundaries that we want to discuss and talk about. So this is just the first part that what we're doing. But I have to say this as well. Regarding the relationship emotional intelligence, we want you all to understand that the things that you're learning, especially the relationship part, which is everything, of course, it can be extended over to all parts of your relationship. I mean, your relationship is concepts or objects that we are connected to by association, by link or alliance. Mm-hmm. This includes family, coworkers, neighbors, in-laws, exes, even your children. I mean, all these people can compromise your peace of mind, but this information can extend into all areas of your life. And let me give you an example how. When I have to say that I have superb customer service.
Uh-huh.
And my superb customer service, it came from when I started working at the age of 14.
Uh-huh.
Fast forward through several jobs later, one thing that stuck with me is they taught the same thing. The same things that they taught was customer service. In other words, they wanted us to treat people how we wanted to be treated. We want to treat them like they were a guest at our home and basically just utilize formal manners. So this training and practice was instilled in me. Plus, I saw evidence that it really works because what I sent out came back to me and it made my job so much easier.
Yeah.
The several jobs that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But with this being said, it basically, this practice and training was instilled in me. Because it was instilled in me, it became a part of my personality. This meant that I treated my family, my friends, strangers, just all of this was, it just became natural for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the reason why I said the information that you learn here can be extended over. And you practice this information, then you will, you know, you'll have it embedded in you. And, you know, again, give us a peace of mind. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But you know what, folks? Well, that's today's episode for Relationship Emotional Intelligence. And thanks for listening. And thank you, Mr. Daniel Cagnell.
No problem.
For your intellect, yep, regarding boundaries. Also, folks, if you have any ideas, if you have questions, concerns, you need answers, you can just feel free to drop it into any of ours or both of ours comment section, DM. You can reach us at the, you can reach me at BeBless100. You can reach Dan at The Real Dan Com.
And that's THEREALDANKHAN. And that's on IG.
Yes. So please, your information, and you remain anonymous, but if you feel like something that you just really need to talk about, or want us to talk about, we'd be more than happy to do so.
Yeah. I mean, if you got any ideas or anything like that, something you've addressed in the past and you're trying to get some answers, you can just drop me a line, let me know exactly what ideas you had and you want me to talk about it, and I'll go ahead and put together a podcast for it.
Yeah. Or if you wanted something, if you need some personal one-on-one help, go ahead and contact Dan.
Give me a call.
He's the man. So, hey, we were so happy to have you all join us today. It was awesome. Thank you, Dan. Again, we're going to revisit boundaries because there's so many parts to this.
It really
is. It doesn't stop. So you might hear the same things over again that we've already discussed, but guess what? We would continue to learn. We can never stop learning, right?
Yep.
All right. That's so thank you so much, all, for joining us. Thank you, Dan. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.